Matchbook presents First Years, a podcast for all but geared toward adult first-time readers of Harry Potter, who need a space to enjoy each book and have adult conversations about it. My name is Sarah, and I'm honored that you've allowed me on this journey with you. Crack open a butterbeer, grab a seat, and let's discuss. Today, we're talking about trauma, Barty Crouch, and the fragility of international magical cooperation. Welcome, everybody, to episode 40 of First Years. Today, we're talking about chapters 28 and 29 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. So, first things first, we have been hearing a lot of weird, sketchy things about Barty Crouch lately. And in this first chapter, the title is The Madness of Mr. Crouch. And yet it has Winky as the chapter art. So I wanted to point that out and wanted to get your guys' take on why do you think the artist decided to portray Winky for the art of this chapter when it's really all about Mr. Crouch. We see Winky at first, but this chapter is named after Crouch. And this is actually the second chapter in this book that has Crouch's name in the title. So what do you think that means? And what do you think it says about the importance of Barty Crouch as a character in this book? So when we see Winky, our trio goes to the kitchens to give Dobby his thank you gift for helping Harry out with the second task. And they ask for extra food for Sirius, and again, we see all of the happy house elves. But then we see Winky, who is in even worse shape. She hasn't been cleaning herself, she's drinking enough to pass out, essentially. She is so depressed, and it's really sad to see, because we saw that she was upset earlier on when we were in the kitchens earlier in this book, and Hermione essentially was like, well, yeah, she's upset now, but she'll get over it, it's fine. And it is very clear that Winky has not gotten over it. And it seems to me in this moment that Winky has really gone through a trauma. This isn't just getting fired from a job. This isn't just getting fired from a job that she loves. This was her whole life. She took immense pride in her work and taking care of Barty Crouch. She's even said more than once that she worried that he wasn't going to be able to take care of himself on his own, that he wouldn't be able to handle things without Winky being there. And this trauma that Winky has gone through for something that wasn't actually her fault, besides breaking a rule, she's not dealing with it well. She isn't taking care of herself. She's drinking a lot. And obviously this is how some people cope with certain things that they can't fully handle. We see it all the time. As someone who hasn't gone through something as intense as this, but who has gone through, you know, something difficult before and has then wanted to eat all of the crappy food and drink all of the extra alcohol, I can understand how one goes from point A to point B. And it's really sad to see Winky go to such an extreme because she just can't handle and can't cope, and there's really no, you know, way for her to get support in any other way. There's not like house elf psychologists or therapists out there to help her work through this. She has to really do it alone. Everyone else is, you know, either telling her it's fine and she's better off this way, or that she needs to accept that Dumbledore is her master now, which she also doesn't want to do. And it's just incredibly hard. And you see how difficult it is for her to accept this new situation she is in. So during this, the elves are giving her disapproving looks. And last time we were here in this location, Winky had talked about how she was properly ashamed about being fired while Dobby wasn't. And what struck me here is that the other house elves and Winky sort of looked down on Dobby because he was getting all these extra benefits and wasn't, you know, doing work for free like all house elves should, right? So he wasn't following the rules of a typical house elf. But Winky, in this moment, also isn't following the rules. You know, Winky isn't respecting that Dumbledore is her new master. So in house elf terms, that counts too, don't you think? Which is why all of the other house elves kind of don't really know what to do with her. Like, Dobby at least is still working, even though, yes, he's getting paid and has a couple of days off, but at least he's still doing the work while Winky isn't really doing anything because she's so emotionally distraught. And in this scene, Winky finds out that Mr. Crouch is sick and is even more worried about him because she was already worried about him. And it's turning out that it's true, that he can't actually manage things without her. Or at least that's what it seems like. And again, this is making me wonder, like, what kind of help older wizards can get around the house? Because Hermione says, you know, other people manage to do their own housework. And while, yes, that may be true for the average wizard, Barty Crouch is an older man, and there are always going to be others who probably can't manage that housework on their own, and Barty Crouch may very well be one of those people. We also find out in this scene that Winky is the keeper of Mr. Crouch's secrets, and they try to get her to talk, but she refuses and says, you know, people are always trying to prod and poke, and I wondered, one, what these secrets are, and two, who else has been trying to figure them out? What do you guys think? After this, Winky passes out. The other elves try to cover her up, and they're embarrassed by her behavior. And Hermione tries to use Dobby as an example to try to convince the house elves that they're better off. But even he doesn't really want to be called out like this in front of everyone. And Hermione essentially gets our trio kicked out of the kitchens because she insults all of the house elves. And the house elves aren't the only ones that are upset with Hermione. Hermione starts getting hate mail. She gets insults and threats and even harmful things sent to her because of what Rita Skeeter wrote about her. You know, now people think that she's playing with Harry's heart and Harry doesn't deserve that, which is of course all fake. But this connects directly to what we see in our world with fake news and the danger of fake news, because Rita Skeeter is spreading rumors and people are listening to her and she has a lot of influence and she is making people angry, but not at her, at somebody else. And we totally see this with people mobilizing their audiences for both good and bad. And we've seen people get threats to their lives before. This isn't something new. We see how media can be used and how people with audiences can use them to harm other people. And I think that is something that completely is so relevant to our world and continues to be relevant to our world. Moving on to our Care of Magical Creatures lesson, Hagrid sets up a really fun lesson with Nifflers, which are these really cute fuzzy creatures that love hunting treasure. So he sets up this really cool game where they all pick a Niffler, and whoever's Niffler collects the most gold coins at the end wins. this is the second time we've seen Leprechaun Gold in this book, and it disappears. And I want to know what you think this means, because we've seen this gold twice. Is the fact that Leprechaun Gold works like this a message about not getting attached to gold because it can disappear? Is that the point? Is it calling out those who are only after money? Because that's kind of what we see attached to leprechauns. You know, people are always after the gold that's at the end of the rainbow. Or is it something else? Because also in this scene, we get a moment where Ron calls Harry's privilege out, because he gave him the gold from the World Cup to pay him back, and Harry didn't realize that it had disappeared. Because Harry has enough money that it's just something that he didn't notice. While Ron, who doesn't have a lot of money, would absolutely notice galleons going missing. And I feel bad for Ron here, because he is struggling with not having a lot of money and feels bad that he can't pay Harry back, and that Harry spent more money on him for Christmas. And Ron seems kind of mad that Harry didn't notice this money went missing. And Harry says, you know, I had more important things to worry about. My wand was gone. You know, I didn't have time to worry about something else that I didn't really notice. So what do you guys think that says about these two characters? Jumping back to Rita Skeeter for just a moment, she's been eavesdropping somehow, and we don't know how. And Hermione is on a mission to figure out how she has gotten access to private information and private conversations. And she asks Moody if Rita Skeeter was using an invisibility cloak during the second task, and apparently she wasn't. So what do you guys think is happening here? How do you think Rita Skeeter is using magic to eavesdrop? Is there a magical spell that allows you to do that? Because Harry suggests, oh, maybe she bugged you, you know, using muggle technology with tiny microphones or something like that. And Hermione's like, nope, that technology doesn't work around here. So she must be doing it in a magical way. But what do you guys think she's been able to do? Or is it like a Game of Thrones situation where she has like other people working for her that are, does she have little birds that are eavesdropping and reporting back to her? We also find out in these chapters what the third task is, and it's a maze. It is a maze that will have challenges within it, and whoever gets the cup first wins the Triwizard Tournament. So you have like magical challenges, but you also have directional challenges because you need to find your way to the cup in the maze. What do we think this is testing in wizards? Is it being able to handle anything? Is it being able to handle things when you're not really sure where you are? Do you think it's going to be a reflection of the previous two tasks we've seen? What do you guys think this is testing? Now, let's talk about the big thing that happens in these two chapters, the madness of Mr. Crouch. So, Victor Crumb, after they find out what the third task is, wants to talk to Harry about what's going on between him and Hermione, and basically wants to make sure that Harry doesn't have a thing for Hermione because Crumb seems to really like her. And they walk into the forest to have this private conversation, and they run into Mr. Crouch, who's talking to a tree, thinking he's talking to Percy Weasley, and then has a moment of clarity where he says he escaped from somewhere, needs to talk to Dumbledore, says that Bertha Jorkins is dead, Voldemort is stronger, and something is his fault. He also checks to make sure that Harry isn't, quote-unquote, his, but Dumbledore's. So who is he? who is the he that he is talking about that he's making sure Harry isn't. Harry makes the decision that Crumb should stay with him while he goes to get Dumbledore, instead of having Crumb help him take Crouch into the castle, which, given the circumstances when Harry returns, probably would have been the better idea. Also, just on a personal note, that's probably what I would have done. There's less time just bringing Crouch into the castle directly to Dumbledore rather than having to go get Dumbledore and then bring Dumbledore back to the spot where they were at. Dumbledore seems immediately concerned, especially when Harry mentions that he left Crouch with Crumb. But apparently, Crouch attacked Crumb and then ran off to who knows where. So where do you think Crouch escaped from? Do you think it's somewhere near Hogwarts? Or on the Hogwarts grounds? Or somewhere else and he managed to get to Hogwarts? And this is an interesting question because they're not really sure where he went after he disappeared. And Harry at some point says that he doesn't think, even though disapparation isn't possible at Hogwarts, he probably wouldn't have been strong enough to do so anyway. So what do you think is going on with Mr. Crouch, especially since Percy seems to have so much faith in these directions he's getting from him and that he's, you know, insistent that, you know, he's taking time off. He deserves to take time off. I can recognize his handwriting. I know exactly what's going on. Please don't bother me. You know, what does this say about this whole situation? Where was Crouch? Is he capable even of sending Percy Weasley letters? I would say probably not, given his state. Or is this something where he has been sending Percy letters and then something just happened to have happened recently? Has he only been, you know, where he's been for a short amount of time before he's escaped? And an interesting thing here is that this whole tournament, this whole book so far is supposed to be about international magical cooperation. And yet we're seeing divides here. Hagrid is asking Harry why he would wander off with Crumb and says that he's going to talk with Hermione too about Crumb. And he says, quote, "The less you lot have to do with these foreigners, the happier you'll be. You can't trust any of them," unquote. And even Sirius, in his letter to Harry, scolds him for walking alone with Crumb into the forest. And this is a really unfortunate mentality to have, because we don't have any proof that Crumb is untrustworthy. Hermione seems to like him. You know, Karkaroff is really the only one we've been given signs not to trust in this book so far. So what does that say about this theme of international magical cooperation? That it doesn't work? That when you get down to it, people are actively going to not trust each other? We see this all the time today, where people make assumptions about others from other countries and don't trust them or judge them based off of how they look or act or what have you. So what does that say about the idea of people coming together? Do you have faith in it or no? Or do people jump too quickly at the chance to turn on each other? I'm especially interested in your answers to this, given that the Olympics are going on, which is also supposed to be, you know, an international, you know, gathering where people can bond and, yes, compete, but also, you know, come together over a love of sports. And, you know, having watched some of the gymnastics recently, you know, you're always seeing the girls from other countries hugging each other and congratulating each other, you know, so where does that come into play? How does that impact your answer to this question, if it does at all? Later on in these chapters, Harry goes to divination. And what struck me here is that Professor Trelawney is talking about planetary movements, and she has this solar system that she's showing the students. And it struck me that wizards study the planets, but never get into space. when they're talking earlier in these two chapters about, you know, they're speculating about what Rita Skeeter might be doing, and Harry talks about, oh, she might have bugged you, and Hermione talks about all this tech that the Muggles use, and she specifically says it in the way that the Muggles need this technology because they don't have magic, right? But wizards don't have space travel. Muggles can space travel, and we haven't heard anything about wizards doing it. And that's really interesting to me, because space travel doesn't seem like something that Muggles need because they don't have magic, because wizards don't do it already. So this is one thing that the Muggles might have advantage over the wizards about, which is really cool if you think about it. But during this lesson, Harry falls asleep in class and has a dream like the one he had in the beginning of the book, which is what Voldemort is up to. It sounds like Wormtail really messed up, and Voldemort is keeping him alive, but torturing him for his mistake. Do we think this screw-up was Crouch escaping, if that's who he was with, or do you think it was something else? Harry wakes up from this dream screaming in the middle of divination class, and he runs to tell Dumbledore about this. But before he gets a chance to, he overhears a conversation between Dumbledore, Moody, and Cornelius Fudge. And Fudge, for some reason, doesn't think that all of these circumstances are related, which is really weird. He's still not that worried about Bertha Jorkins, who has literally been missing since the beginning of the book, and doesn't seem to think much of Crouch showing up at Hogwarts half-crazed, besides thinking that he may have lost it, or thinking Madame Maxime has something to do with it. So we get another dose of wizarding prejudice in this book, and Dumbledore does call him out on it. And this conversation doesn't get finished because Moody suggests that they wrap it up because he knows Harry is behind the door. But I just wonder why Crouch isn't more invested in both of these occurrences. Why does no one at the Ministry of Magic care about what happens to Bertha Jorkins or the fact that she has been missing for probably months now? And why is he not more concerned about Barty Crouch, who is a respected ministry official, like not coming into work for the last few months, not showing up at the Triwizard Tournament, and then showing up in the middle of the forest at Hogwarts talking nonsense, and then disappearing, and then just not really thinking all of that is weird and might be related and should probably be investigated further? It's kind of astounding when you think about it. What do you think Fudge's reasoning behind this is? But my last question before we wrap it up is, what do you think Fred and George are up to? I know I've asked this before, but now we got a little bit more detail where we run into them in the owlry and they're talking about blackmailing somebody. What do you think is going on? Please give me all of your thoughts on these two chapters by DMing me. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at firstyearspod, or you can send me an email, which is firstyearspodcast@gmail.com. I can't wait to hear all of your thoughts. I love hearing from you guys. Please stay tuned for more trivia and Mindful Magic Mondays, as always. I have been behind on trivia. I am so sorry. I was moving out of my apartment, and then I was away on vacation, and it was just a lot to keep up with. But I promise you, I will have more opportunities for you guys to win house points and make up that time that I have missed. And I hope that you guys participate, because I love seeing you guys answer trivia questions and entering all of my information into the spreadsheet so I can keep track of all of the house points. So for next episode, you just need to read chapters 30 and 31, and I will see you guys next time. First Years is a production of Matchbook. It's produced by Quinn Parker and myself, Sarah Jones-Dittmeyer. All sources can be found in our show notes or on our website at authorsarahjonesdittmeyer.info/firstyearspodcast. That's Sarah with an H, and Dittmeyer is spelled Dittmeier. Please remember that staying a Harry Potter fan is the biggest form of revolt that you can have, and we are committed to continuing to make this fandom and this community safe and welcoming to everybody.